actually here to propose a new word for our vocabularies as scientists or entomologists, and that's biosurveillance. You're probably very familiar with the term biocontrol, using an organism to control a pest. Well, here I want to use an organism to find a pest. And the simple title that I like to run with, especially when I'm showing this to my family, is I'm using a wasp down here to find a beetle. So the specific biosurveillance tool I'm using is a wasp to prey on emerald ash borers. Some of you are probably well familiar with emerald ash borer. I work in part with the Canadian Food Inspection Agency in Canada, and their job is to understand and try and contain the spread of emerald ash borer. If you're not familiar with it, what the beetle is capable of, this is a nice, probably about a 20-year-old ash forest in southwestern Ontario, and you have a little bit of young suckers coming up, but virtually all these ashes are dead. So this beetle is having a significant impact on ash forests in Ontario, but also ash forests across or around most of the neighboring states. So most of my work is done in the Windsor area, but you can see here it's spread a lot through Michigan, and probably many of you who are from the East Coast, or I guess this is called the maybe Middle America, recognize your state there and can calculate how close one of these red dots is to your house and how long it will take for this beetle to arrive and remove the ash trees in your area. So both in Canada and in the States, we recognize that successful management of the beetle is going to be dependent on our ability to find the beetle. A lot of people are working on biocontrols or inoculations you can put into trees, but we can't really implement those tools unless we know where the beetle is. So in the beginning, simple technique, or somewhat simple I should say, for those who are doing the work it maybe isn't so simple, is visual inspections. You can drive down a city street and look for sickly looking ash trees. Here in Windsor we have one. Go up to the ash tree, take a close look at the bark, and check to see if there are, not a lot of mouse room here, check to see if there's D-shaped exit holes. If you're out in June, you'll probably have these shiny green beetles landing on you. That's our emerald ash borer. But on a larger scale, if we're looking at woodlots, if we're looking at state parks, campgrounds, we essentially have a needle in a haystack type of scenario trying to locate these beetles. A technique that's being used a lot in Canada and extensively in the States are various traps. So in Canada here we have a sticky trap, ash trunk wrapped in saran wrap covered with a sticky material. You do this on a number of ash trees throughout the forest and hope that your beetle, which is attracted to ash trees, lands on the sticky material, and a week later you can come by, see that beetle stuck there, and realize you have the beetle in your presence. In the States they're using panel traps, which is a purple sheet of plastic, and there is some research that suggests these beetles are attracted to purple. So unfortunately, many of these current methods are costly, labor-intensive, and at times impractical. That's a lot of work getting out there regularly maintaining these various traps. And so the lab I'm in recently explored another option, and that's using a native wasp. This is a wasp native to Ontario and eastern North America to find these beetles for us. So here we have our wasp, Cercerus fumipennis, carrying an emerald ash borer. Cercerus fumipennis is a solitary wasp, so each female makes its own nest, and in an area the size of this room, you might have between 30 or 500 nests, each female having their own hole, provisioning it with Buprestid beetles. They prey on Buprestid beetles, that family, Buprestidae, but they also prey on emerald ash borer. They're so good at finding these beetles that in Canada, when we first discovered this wasp, the wasp quickly provided us with new species of Buprestid that we had never seen in the country before. If you think of areas like South Carolina, probably a quarter to a third of all the Buprestids known to South Carolina are known from this nest of this wasp. So they're very good at finding these beetles. Working with a wasp is very simple. They're active at the right time of year. And typical colony, I say here, 30 nest colony, 60 beetles a day. So you're looking at about two beetles per wasp, but it can vary depending on weather conditions. And they are good at finding emerald ash borers. This is very important to us when we're trying to use this as a tool. We have heavy infestations of beetles. You get 60% of the wasp prey are EAB. Old infestations, 10-year-old sites, where you'd be hard-pressed to find a live ash tree, you're looking at 21% of their prey are still EAB. And recent infestations, this is a site that We found EAB in this year. The wasps were already collecting 6% of their prey as emerald ash borer. This is a nice tool. This is the most important tool you have when working with this wasp, a clear plastic cup. To check what the wasp is carrying, you don't need to catch it and take its beetle, though you can, and it will go and catch more beetles and bring them back. We instead used a plastic cup, put it over the nest entrance. When the female comes back, she hovers around the cup, and you can identify what she's carrying. For most native beetles, you can identify it to genus. Emerald ash borer is extremely distinctive, and you can identify it to species without having to catch the beetle. In this case, we have a native Chrysobothrus beetle being carried in by a female. So, in Ontario, the wasp is in the right spot. This is the current range. It probably exists much further north. We just haven't had time to explore those areas. And for the many Americans in the audience, don't worry about the number of dots on this map, but just quickly look at the outlying dots. This is Yellowstone on the side of a geyser. There's a wasp cerceris colony running across to Vermont, Maine area, down to Miami, into the Everglades, and over to Texas. Essentially, this wasp is the only cabranid wasp, cabranid being the family, that preys on brupestids east of the Rocky Mountains. So it's found everywhere east of the Rocky Mountains. And west of the Rocky Mountains, once this beetle arrives in the west, you actually have four species you can start using. So what if your colony is not in the right spot? In 2006, we were dependent on naturally established colonies. Say you have a campground that you want to survey, and for the life of you, you can't find a colony of these wasps nesting nearby. Well, this year we solved that problem. We developed mobile colonies, fabricated these big steel scoops that we pushed forward into the soil and cut out solid blocks of soil containing the nests and the wasps that are sleeping within them. The females spend the nights in their nests, so if you cut at night, or cut in the first thing in the morning, or at night, we did this first thing in the morning, you can take the wasps and the soil all at once. Throw this in the back of a trailer, leave it in your trailer, all of a sudden you have a mobile wasp colony that you can move where and when you need it. So, this is some of our first work with it. We had great success. This female, or we moved a series of nests 350 kilometers in one night from Toronto to Windsor. And they all survived, which was my first major concern, that the bouncing of, you know, running over a speed bump or sliding off the side of the road at some point would crush the wasps when the soil moved around. But they all survived. They all emerged. They repaired their nests. They performed orientation flights when they emerged the next morning, which means they learn their new surroundings, learn where their nests are now located. And the pièce de résistance is this picture. It's a little hard to see, but within 24 hours, the wasps that we had moved, that have never been to the site before in their life, none of their previous relatives, their parents from the previous season, have never been to the site. Within 24 hours, we have our little wasp here. She brought back an agrillis, which is the same genus that emerald ash borer is in. So these wasps are quickly becoming familiar with their new surroundings and provisioning their nests. So essentially we have the mobile colony ready to go. We added one more perk to this system, which was trying to calculate how far these wasps go to get their beetles. Essentially what we did is, what we rationaled was, if we can figure out how quickly these wasps navigate a distance, we should be able to take that navigation time, I don't want to call it speed, but navigation time, and use it to determine how far a wasp has flown when she's absent from her nest. Might sound a little weird, and if it does sound too weird, you can ask me afterwards. We caught a bunch of wasps at a colony here, take them 1 kilometer away, release them, took the time of the fastest wasp, and did a simple little calculation which told us that in 1 minute a wasp is approximately navigating 33 meters. And this means that when a colony, our little star there, brings back an EAB, it's no longer a guessing game of how far that wasp went, 10 kilometers, 2 kilometers. Here's a specific example, but we can actually take that, the time it was gone, 57 minutes, and change that into a maximum foraging radius, draw a circle around the colony, and look for your infested material there. So, how can we apply this in the future? 2008. Imagine that a superintendent comes to you of a park and wants to know whether or not they have the beetles, they have a quarantine or a firewood quarantine in place, so on and so forth. They really need to figure out if they have these beetles. And so what you do is you show up with your mobile colony one morning, you observe the wasps as they come and go from their nests with prey, ensure that they collect at least 40 beetles. That's a qualitative estimate to give you a sense of diversity in the forest. If you have no beetles, you're clear. If EAB is found, you use the flight time of the positive wasp to calculate foraging range and then draw a circle around that to look for infested material. So essentially with biosurveillance, we are no longer just using passive monitoring for EAB. Lots of people to thank, and there's actually probably more that I need to try and fit in on that slide in future days. So, any questions? Oh, okay. Yes?
Does the wasp prefer to nest in this particular soil type?
Yes, yeah, that's something I would like to, would have liked to included. Hard packed sandy soils disturbed by humans. Other than the site of the geyser, I've never heard of a site that's not undergone human disturbance. And your perfect examples, if you're looking for this, the wasp is very common. Baseball diamonds, fire pits at group camps, you know, the sandy areas around a fire pit, little trails, trails through the woods. You don't want areas that are shaded, you want areas that are open, that have direct sunlight, usually with forest around them. Those sort of disturbed sites are most popular. Some of the colonies we found in Ontario, we actually found because we'd be in a campground camping. We'd pull in at night, set up our tent, wake up the next morning, and realize we'd put our tent on top of a cerceris colony. So they're quite common out there if you look. Yep.
Is the depth of their nest predictable?
Yep. The literature suggests you're looking at about 17 centimeters down, where the cells are located. The female maintains many cells. Each cell produces a wasp. So when we built the scoops, we gave it a 20 centimeter depth with drain holes on the bottom so that we could get almost all the wasps that were in the location. No problem.